I've spent the last year putting the pieces of my life back together after I lost everything in my six-figure marketing business. So yeah, I loved that agency. And now I'm taking my decade plus of traditional marketing experience, combining it with the latest online marketing techniques and starting again from scratch. The question is, how will I do it? With the new challenges like cash flow, debt, and no team. This podcast is here to give you the answer. So join me and follow along as I apply and share marketing strategies to grow my online business using only the simplest, most uncomplicated methods. My name is Samantha Gooden, and welcome to Marketing Launch Radio. Welcome to Marketing Launch Radio, and I want you to help me welcome David Waldie, who's here with me today. Oh my goodness, David, you are one of the guys that I absolutely honor. When I tell you I honor you, I will not forget one of our first calls together, and you shared with me from your heart. I love that you stand very firmly on your belief system, and then you share that with us as much as we absolutely need to. You've helped to grow my faith, but you've also helped me in the sales aspect of journey because of the journey, because you've said that sales is really serving. So much to pack into here. Please help me to welcome everybody. David Waldie, thank you for being here, David. Oh,
thank you, Samantha. Yay.
I know, it's like you can hear the crowds in the background.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you absolutely are. You honor me. Thank you so much. It's really a privilege to be here with you, and just everything that you stand for, everything that you are, everything that you do, empowering women, just your story of resilience and persistence and pushing forward. You are someone that the world needs, and people need to follow you. And so I honor you, my friend, and just who you are, the voice of reason, the voice of power, the love and laughter and joy that you give the world, Samantha. Holy cow. I'm the one honored to be here. So thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. David, tell us. So I thank you for that. I thank you very much for that. I'm not going to do the thing that women do where we deflect. We're like, oh no, I'm going to say thank you very much for that. Can you help us understand your journey into sales, right? Because you are actually one of the very first people, if not the first person I've ever heard say that sales is serving. Because most of us get so nervous at the thought of sales, selling ourselves or our product, we just want to run in the opposite direction.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll kind of share a little bit of backstory, just, and I won't get too detailed, so I can keep you with keep everybody on track. But when I left high school, I actually had a full ride to go to school. So I had a full ride academic scholarship, which I turned down. I decided that I wasn't going to do that because I did not feel it was the best path for me. And so instead, I went into a two-year internship program that was specifically focused on leadership development, interpersonal communication. There were some ministerial aspects to it, and learning a lot about what it looks like to exist in the world we live in today. I really felt like it was, my path was different. And so after my parents losing their mind for a little while, I finished up that internship program. And during that whole process, I had always just been in sales. And sales was something that I know for most people, right? We've got those stereotypes of who we think salespeople are, the used car salesperson, or like the person hawking the popcorn at the sports event. Or my favorite is like, I don't know if you had this, Samantha, is like, if you remember being a kid and going through the department store with your mom, and there's the perfumers and the people in there, and she's like, keep your head down, don't make eye contact, head down. She's like, and so we grow up with this subconscious just aversion to sales. And so for me, I just always felt that sales was an amazing opportunity for me to serve people, because I always felt I felt an obligation to help. And I wanted to do it in such a way that I could create a living for myself and really, really help people. And what I started to see during this journey was that most people didn't see sales that way. Most people saw sales as combative, as aggressive, or taking, right? We think about like, oh, they're coming to take my money. And you hear these terms a lot in culture, like, and sometimes we use them, we don't necessarily, it's not our intent, but you hear like, you know, make a killing, right? We hear these terms, and what they are is they create these little subconscious paths in our head where it's just reinforcing that aversion to sales. And so the reason that so many people really, really struggle with putting themselves out there and selling in general is they are fearful of being perceived the way that they perceive salespeople.
Yes, yes. And oh my God, David, none of the pictures, like I can't tell you one salesperson right now that I can think of that I've said, oh, I just can't wait to meet that person. No, like they all kind of give me that sleazy feeling and they're not bad people. It's just, you're right. They're mostly negative examples in my head. Okay, so how do you make the transition? How did you make that transition for yourself? Mm-hmm. And how can we make that transition for ourselves?
Absolutely. So for me, what ended up happening, there was a journey that I had to go through for several years, which you don't have to go through. So that's good news, number one. A lot of failure, a lot of mistakes, a lot of just trial and error. And so I always had that heart to serve people well. But what I didn't recognize was that I was building a foundation that was based on principles that have existed for thousands of years. Mm. And I don't say that to sound hokey. It's mm-hmm. it's true mm-hmm. that there are certain principles when it comes to the things in the world today that if you follow those principles, you're going to be able to replicate or reproduce the same result. Mm-hmm. And so what I didn't realize is I was learning and developing these principles over my sales career. So I've been in sales almost 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And in that, I've spent my entire life obsessing on self-education, books, mm-hmm. knowledge, mm-hmm. Nowadays it's podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. Learning from those that have been wildly successful in business and sales. So the mm-hmm. Zig Ziglars of the world, you talk yes. about, we've got Napoleon Hill, we've got, yes. even in modern day, you've got Seth Godin's, Dave Ramsey's, mm-hmm. There's a couple guys out there that I don't really like, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to name drop them. But just obsessing over learning about sales. And what I started to do is I started to realize there was something different about me than all of my peers. And how I recognized that was I became one of the top 1% producers in a $400 million a year company.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't really think much of it until I started to realize, okay, something about my sales process is different than 99% of the people in this business. And I was generating seven figures year over year over year. Not in income, mind you, in revenue, just personally.
Yeah.
And so I started to think about my process and like what I was doing. And the biggest differentiating factor was all that I wanted to do was make sure that the solution I was providing was the right solution for the person in front of me. Mm. And I was bold enough and confident enough to tell them wow. no, even if they wanted to give me their money.
Wow.
That is where a lot of salespeople miss it. And in the process of doing this, of seeking to serve and being willing to shut up and listen to the person in front of me, it helped me be able to truly empathize and understand their wants, their needs, and their desires. And in this progression, what I started to realize, I'm sure you're maybe familiar with NLP, right? Neuro-linguistic programming. Uh-huh. I didn't know what that was until like a year ago. But what I found out was that what I was, in essence, exercising was NLP for all of those years of really, really pushing my agenda backwards and saying, I exist and I am here to help other people. Mm. I'm here to seek to serve. And in that place, everybody wanted to buy from me because they didn't feel like I was selling them. Mm-hmm. And so all these people they've got all these strategies and tactics and all these things. And as hokey as it sounds, honestly, Samantha, women are better at this than men. It's love.
Yes.
If you love the people, the person in front of you, and you genuinely are seeking to serve them, that will cause you to take a step back, shut up and listen, understand who you're serving. Mm. And what it does is it creates this momentum where they can't help but tell everyone that they know about you. And so everyone that they know wants to buy from you. And then you treat them the same way. And then they tell everybody they know. And they tell everybody they know. And so that element of being, you know, a referral system, mm-hmm. it's just organic because you really, really care.
So like while you're talking, for me, a lot of times I'm able to translate, and sometimes I actually see things visually. And while you were talking, this organic referral system, which needs to be trademarked to David Waldy, by the way, the organic referral system, honest to goodness, like, and that should be the name, that the name of this podcast, the organic referral system you need.
I love it.
Yeah, because that's exactly what you were saying there. But this aspect of love, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we take love out of the business thing. We take love out of the entrepreneurship thing. In fact, I remember working in my own business to the point where I felt like I was a slave to it. And mm-hmm. just before I lost everything about a year and something ago, as well as the company was doing, we were doing six figures, doubling revenue year on year. But and it was my own company, but I was so drained that I lost the love. Yeah. How do we maintain the love for the people that we serve? How do we maintain the love for our businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. Real life, my daughter was trying to run in here.
Aww, that's so cool. Yeah.
So when it comes to building that belief, there's really a few different things. You have to, or sorry, not building the belief. You're talking about the love. Mm-hmm. Squirrel, right? The benefits of, so just so everybody who's listening, this is real life. Like this is the amazing thing about what we get to do is that real life continues to go on. And so my daughter just tried to run into my office and she's screaming outside if you can hear. When it comes to loving our customers well, when it comes to loving what we do, when it comes to doing what we can to continue to feel that momentum, right? You've got to go through a mental process. You've got to go through, just a second. Sorry. She's screaming so loud. Can you hear her?
Yeah, but it's okay. This is part of what I love. The authenticity of real life. You're doing it. You're doing good. That's fine. Yeah. And guys, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, you really need to go find the video of this podcast. David is like turned red. He's like, my daughter's outside making so much noise. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that like the clients I work with, like they know that at any given time she can come in, right? She can come in and sit up and she'll be here for like 30 seconds and say, hey. And because I want them to know that, especially as an online entrepreneur, online marketer, it's real life, people. Like, yeah. Life goes on, but you don't have to disconnect the two. They can mesh together. And so, mm-hmm. anyways, squirrel, love you, sweetheart. I'll be out there. So when it comes to loving what we do and not burning out, mm-hmm. you've got to go through a process that affects every part of your life. It comes down to your habits and it comes down to your daily routines, right? Mm-hmm. So many people are living reactionary lives. And so for me, for years, what I would do is I would wake up, I'd hit that snooze a couple times. Then it was like the last minute before I knew I had to leave and go to the office or whatever. You're jumping in the shower. You're half brushing your teeth. You got the Pop-Tart out the one and you're on the go. And our entire day is that. And it's just rushed and it's frenetic and it's chaos. And it's just, and that what ends up happening is that we become humans doing and not human beings, human doings, human beings. We're not being, we're not present, we're not able to love what we do because there's just so much going on that we don't have systems, routines, and habits in place that we live from mm-hmm. intentionally on a day-to-day basis. And so when it comes to the love for your customers specifically, what I want to do is I want to kind of just quickly outline, I use this thing called Beacon. It's an acronym. So yeah. I like to call it the Beacon Method, all right? Mm-hmm. B is for belief. Mm-hmm. Number one, you've got to believe in yourself, right? Mm. You've got to believe in yourself and you've got to nurture inside of yourself and kind of curate or develop this unwavering confidence in who you are and who you've been called to be. You also have to believe in what you provide. So many people believe in what they provide initially, or they assume that what they provide is what people want or need.
Yeah.
Big assumption. You have to know that what you provide actually solves a real problem for people and build your belief in that. You've got to be your biggest advocate for your brand and then building belief in those that you're serving. You have to believe in your customers. You've got to believe in your clients. You've got to believe that they have the capacity, the human capacity for greatness. And you've got to believe that they can take whatever your solution is and apply that in their situation and succeed with it. Because if you don't believe in them and you sell it to them, you are doing them a disservice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's B. E, so is empathy. Mm. Like I said before, right? You got to shut up and listen. mm-hmm. You have to truly seek to understand, right? And there are a lot of ways that you can do this. And a lot of that comes down to the NLP and to the different types of things with how you're asking questions, how you're responding, how you're engaging, how you're interacting with these people that you're wanting to serve with these leads and prospects, understanding empathy, okay? The next one is adaptability. You got to adapt. You've got to be flexible. Because every single day, right? And if you have the habits and routines built in that you've been intentional about, you're able to adapt. You're able to be flexible. You're able to respond to what happens rather than react. Most people are living in a reactionary state because they're reacting. Life is happening to them rather than them happening to life, right? And so you've got to be adaptable in your business. The next part is C, right? Communication. You have to keep the lines of communication open between you, your team, your customers, and you've got to put in the work required to develop your interpersonal communication skills. Mm-hmm. If you don't usually like to talk with people,
yeah.
you probably need to go talk to more people. right? And it's, I know that that's, it's something that can be a challenge, but learning how to effectively communicate, especially in the online space,
yeah.
so many people don't understand that there are people that process by auditory learning or yeah. visual learning, kinesthetic yeah. learning, right? And so if you're constantly talking at people who are wanting to see you,
yeah.
you're not going to connect with those people.
Exactly.
If you're constantly like just in front of people that are wanting to feel you and that like they, there's just the different ways that you can communicate and connect. And that's why engaging our senses and our copy mm-hmm. is so important. You know, writing words that are feeling words,
yeah.
touch words, taste yeah. words, smell words, those things. And then so we're at B, E, A, C, right? Communication. I'm spelling that right. Yeah.
Oh. We're on O now.
We're on O. O is offer, right? Offer to help. Offer to serve. Offer yourself. Life is found in giving your life away. And I know it sounds counterintuitive, and I know that it sounds like it's in opposition to what so much of the world stands for, but you will find so much more fulfillment in your sales if you recognize that when you offer a solution to someone's problems, you are allowed the opportunity to impact their life and to be able to impact more lives. Because here's what we go, going back to the beginning of our conversation, Samantha. Where so many people get hung up, right? This is the gold nugget part. When it comes to putting ourselves out there,
yeah,
offering what we provide, right? Mm-hmm. Offering our services. What we fail to recognize that people are going to find a solution somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to. Somewhere, somehow, some way, they're going to find a solution. And if you truly believe in who you are and what you provide, and you've taken the time to understand and empathize, and you're willing to adapt, communicate, and you refuse to offer to that individual that which can help them, serve them,
mm-hmm.
and equip them with what they need to succeed, you are literally doing them a disservice and screwing them over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know some people don't like the word screwing, so.
No, that's quite fine. Gosh, go to N because there. I want to go through the entire thing.
You want to go through the? Okay, cool. Yeah. So offering is putting yourself out there. We'll come back to that, like you said. But N is nurture. You've got to nurture relationships before, during, and after the sale. And where so many people miss it is that they don't continue the relationship after the fact by having some form of communication, whether that's like, maybe you have them set up on something that you communicate a month later, 3 months later, 6 months later. Hey friend, just checking in on you. Want to see how things are going for you. Continuing that relationship of nurturing, because those people will be advocates, and that's that organic referral, right? If you continue like, and it doesn't have to be complicated. it doesn't have to be anything. It's like, hey, Samantha, I know it's been a long time. Just want to let you know you were on my mind today. Be blessed. Have a great day. And what that does is that immediately reignites the know, like, and trust factor. It reignites the rapport. It's like, oh man, that was such a great experience working with David back then, right? That's what I want people to feel. That's what you should want people to feel. Like, yeah. Everyone listening to this, you want the people that when you reach out to them, it's just like, oh man, like I kind of forgot about them, but that was an amazing experience. And that keeps you top of mind for a little while, right? Yeah. Top of mind for a little while. And they're going to be, and then they have conversations with people that might need what you provide. Like, you need to go talk to Samantha. Like, you gotta go talk to Samantha, girl.
David, there are so many things that you are just you're bringing up for me here. I'm so thrilled and excited. I've got like 10 ideas in my head all at the same time. So I'm writing, for those of you listening to the podcast, I'm waving a green post-it note right now, right? So I have a whole post-it note system on my wall beside me. And I'm putting this here because as you spoke about nurture, I have been asking myself this week, how can I serve people better? How can I serve people more? Because I recognize that it is about impact. And if you want to make more money, you want to have more time, ultimately you want to be focusing on impact. And for me, impact is about serving. What can I do to serve? And as you were there talking, I was like, oh gosh, there are multiple ways to nurture. Like that, I'm here taking ferocious notes, David, because this is brilliant. Like, seriously, can we go back to that section there about offering to serve?
Yeah,
because you said life is found in giving ourselves away. Now, as women, sometimes we give ourselves and we actually give too much because we give and we don't get payment for our services, or mm-hmm. we're afraid to ask for pay for services. So when you said by giving ourselves away, exactly what do you mean by that?
That's a great question. So there have to be boundaries, obviously, when it comes to growing and it comes to serving other people. Where a lot of people make the mistake is that they want to help so much that they just give it all away for free. Right?
Yes.
But here's the problem. Okay. Here's the problem in giving all your stuff away for free and not having clear boundaries and not saying, hey, I'm happy to help you with this one quick thing, but if you would like for my continued help, I'm going to have to charge you for it. We can have a conversation about that, right?
Can you say that again, David? Say that again, please.
Okay. Wait, which part?
The part about saying, hey, I can help you with this one quick thing, but if you want my continued services, hey, you have to pay me for it.
Right. So that's my typical rule of thumb is that when someone asks for my help, if it's something that takes me like 5 minutes, I will do my best to either point them in the right direction, send them a link, or to assist with that one thing. But because here's why, is that I'm wanting to show them that I do genuinely care. We can talk, intentions are worthless, right? But if I do that one thing that maybe takes me 5 minutes to do, and then they come back later and say, hey, can you help me with this? And say, hey, friend, I was like super grateful you reached out to me, honored before to help with this, but I really can't afford to work for free. My time is, you know, I really have to sustain my business to take care of. And what ends up happening is if I focus on all these people that are wanting for free, I'm really doing my paying clients a disservice because they pay me to help them.
You say that, David? You actually say that? Okay. Wowzers. Oh, I love it.
Let me add this too in here real quick, Samantha. So when it comes to the life is found in giving your life away and offering things for free, I want people to recognize that that in offering your services, people are going to want to take advantage of you, no matter male or female, right? People are going to want to take advantage when you operate this way. So you have to be cognizant, aware, and have clear boundaries, okay? When it comes to this feeling of putting yourself out there and that fear of like, okay, I don't know if people are going to receive this. I don't know if I have the confidence. I don't know if I want to do this. The best way to overcome this is to treat yourself as an employee of your business. You work for Samantha Gooden Enterprises, right? What happens is that if we go sell for another company, we're not really attached to it. We're, and you've heard this before. I think they talk about this in Seven Figure CEO. And it's something that's been talked about for years and years and years. High intent, Mm-hmm. Low attachment. Mm-hmm. 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 We get so attached because mm-hmm. sometimes we feel like the product, we feel mm-hmm. like what we're selling. If you take a step back and see your services as what you're selling, and you are the salesperson representing Samantha Gooden Enterprises, mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to enter that conversation in a way that's not going to allow you to be taken advantage of, to cut your prices, or, you know, to do these things where most people get in and like, well, I charge $10K for this.
Yeah.
Is that, would you be willing to pay for that?
Yeah. You know? Or yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, exactly. And I know what that feels like, and it's hard because especially for those in the entrepreneurial space, if you're a coach, client, service provider, a lot of times you are, in effect, what you're selling, right? And that can be... So anyways, I wanted to go ahead.
No, but I just, gosh, much to unpack, David, because it is true, when you're serving yourself, it's hard to separate yourself. So I love this concept that you said, treat yourself like you're an employee of your own business, because mm-hmm. that gives you the psychological detachment. It's kind of like cognitive dissonance, and you mm-hmm. use that to your advantage. And I love it.
Yeah.
David, you have something coming up, which is called the 6-figure social media sales mastery. All of it just sounds sexy and juicy, and I want to know more. Tell us about, what is the 6-figure social media sales mastery?
Absolutely. So I've got two business partners, Shane Thorault and Sandra Hasley, and we've got a company called Generation Impact. And so this masterclass is what we're going to be hosting collectively to help people that are really looking to truly grow, engage, and sell online. There's a lot of businesses that have done well as brick and mortars. There's a lot of people that are out there right now that have if we're just being frank, the effects of what's going on with coronavirus and all of that, we have been working on something for almost 6 months now that we had to completely cancel. We were working on masterminds that were going to be scheduled all over the world, mm-hmm. and we've had to shut down all of our live events. And so we came together and we were trying to figure out, okay, how can we take what we were going to do in person and bring it to the online space to help people know how to do online business and mm-hmm. generate an income online through their business, their personal brand, without using all the sketchy marketing tactics, all the strategies that you see that are just incongruent and out of alignment. How can you do it with what we're talking about here? With deep-seated belief and empathy and understanding and serving people well. And that's really what we want to do, is we want to help. It's a 3-day class. Where we're going to be doing for 3 hours each day. It's the 26th, 27th, and 28th. So actually next week. For those that catch this later on, sorry you missed it. But it's 3 hours each day where we're going to be going through and diving deep on how you actually grow an audience, that you connect with the people that are your dream clients, and then how you can actually engage with them in a way that primes them to buy, and then selling with confidence. So it's unpacking a lot of what we talked about today, but it's also the precursor of how do you get people to that point that they want to buy? How do you get people to the point where you're even going to have a sales conversation, right? So, but that's what we're doing. Excited about it.
How do we register?
Yeah. So to register is generationmastermind.com. So www.generationmastermind.com. Mm-hmm. I think if you do the Generation Mastermind, it's not been working. You have to do the www. So don't forget that.
Okay. But
www.generationmastermind.com. Or of course, you can find me on social media. You can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Reach out to me if you've got questions. I'm happy to answer anything I can do.
So David, I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled that you're doing this. I feel like I've seen you transition in an exponential way over the last maybe 6 to 8 months, right? As I've come on this online journey, not just the way that you write, when you talked about writing and putting in the touch words, right, and helping us understand, you're so brilliant at doing that. So I've seen that, and I've seen your posts and been drawn to you from the outside in that way. But then I've seen the way that you have really taken personal development seriously and grown yourself with Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins. And in fact, I can't have you leave here without sharing a bit of that experience, because in the online journey, you just don't know where it's going to go and where you're going to wind up. But I've seen that you just kept showing up and opportunities kept showing up too. And it seems like you took the bull by the horns every single time and just kept going. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, Samantha, I know you can attest to this, is that a lot of people are looking for the success pill. They're looking for what they can do to as much as they don't want to call it the get rich quick. Everybody sees the shiny objects and those things, and what you've seen and what I've seen and what's proved true over and over again is what we talked about before, is the principles and developing habits and daily routines. It's consistency. It's persistence. You and I have both been through hell and back in our own different ways, right? Everyone just, sometimes people just see like the good, and they don't see the tears. They don't see the pain. They don't see the struggle and the consistency and putting in the work when you don't feel like it, and the lost contracts and the people making decisions, backing out, the betrayal, all the stuff. And so for me, you know, in this journey, I've had doors open that only opened because I was committed. I made a decision. I committed, and I did everything that it took to put in the work required. Mm-hmm. And so I have this phrase I use all the time, is say, never stop becoming.
Yeah.
And put in the work required to see your dreams realized. A lot of people don't understand that it's as simple as making a decision and committing. I have been so fortunate. I am a part of one of Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi's speaking and training teams. And so it's one thing that I love to do, of helping business leaders to launch their business, scale their business. There's a number of things in that. But that opportunity... Quick little story just to end us out, Samantha. This hopefully will...
Go for it. Come on, David.
So last year when I was transitioning out of... transitioning out of the corporate world. So I had the stuff, right? Six-figure job, company car, glass corner window, like office, that whole thing, right? And went through some massive betrayal. My wife and I dealt with a miscarriage. There was a lot of stuff that happened during that time and season. And I knew that it was my time to transition. And so I started my business in February of last year, and I started to build, and it was hard because I would work, you know, my normal 50, 60 hours at the office. And then I'd come home, spend time with my, at that time, daughter and wife. And I've got a little boy now who is just born. But I would grind. I would work from like 9:30 until 1 or 2 in the morning, and it was brutal. But I was so desperate, and I was committed to the process, to figuring it out, that I did whatever I could do to learn and grow and absorb from those that I saw that were succeeding mm-hmm. in building an online business. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward, the day that I turned in my 2-week notice, I'm not exaggerating, I'm walking to my truck after a very emotional, like I'm scared, right? Because my wife's stay-at-home mom, so single income family, 6 figures to 0, real quick, right? Mm-hmm. I'm walking to my truck and I get an email. I remember it's like, I can show it to you on my phone. It's like 4:57 or 4:58.
I remember, David, I remember this. Oh God.
And it's an email from Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi that says, congratulations, David, you have been selected to join our speaking and training team. And there was a lot of emotions that day, I'll tell you what. But it was because I was consistent to show up day in and day out. People are trying to look for all the opportunities rather than just focusing on the person in front of them, the task in front of them. Frozen 2. I've seen Frozen 2 about 4,000 times in the last 2 months because my daughter, she's 2 years old. But there's a song in there, right? It was like, it talks about doing the next right thing. Yeah. You've got to continue to do the next right thing. Put in that work. Oh, it's consistent daily action. And you've seen this too, Samantha. Is when you do that and you focus on one person and serving them well and loving them well and working on yourself more than anything.
Yeah.
The opportunities just present themselves. You can call it law of attraction or whatever you want, but it just happens.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing journey.
David, there's a grace about you, and I'm so blessed that I can call you brother and friend, and to hear you share the story this way. I want as many people as possible to come find you, so please do find David Waldy. The link for the training will be in the show notes. I'll also be pushing it on my personal page. I have one more thing to ask you. If, David.
Yeah.
And if you were stranded all by yourself, by your lonesome. on a desert island, what's the one thing that you would need, David? The one thing you'd need to keep you happy?
Do you want the fleshly human answer or the spiritual answers? I
mean, that's gonna be an answer.
So it would have to be Jesus. Like, that's the one thing I need. He's the only thing I need. And and since he's, you know, I can't touch him, feel him, he's just inside, that the one thing I would touch that I would need with me on the island is coffee. 100%. I gotta have good freaking coffee.
So you know what's so cool about this? So technically you'd already have Jesus with you because you'd be there on the island, right?
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
There you go. So the coffee's the answer. The coffee's the answer. I got it.
Coffee.
I got it.
Yep. Definitely coffee.
What kind of coffee do you like, David?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say that probably it would not be Starbucks. No offense. Starbucks. Gosh, please get your Pike Place roast figured out. I think that probably some of the best coffee I've ever had is actually this little place called Twin Valley Coffee in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And they have this combination that sounds crazy. It's a cold brew lemonade that is coffee and lemonade. It sounds insane. I know. I get it. It is a spiritual experience.
Since I'm not a coffee drinker, it must be deeply spiritual. I can only imagine how great it is.
No, but usually black coffee, like any kind of black coffee, Waffle House coffee, McDonald's coffee. Like, I mean, I can be snooty about it, but if it's coffee, it belongs in my stomach. So
good. I got it. I want to say we have gotten a kick out of having you here. You have been just like that caffeine high. Thank you, David. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your time. And we're going to come check out www.generationmastermind.com, the 6-figure social media sales mastery program. Looking forward to that.
Thank you, Samantha. It's been an honor. I'm so grateful for you having me here. take care, my friend.
Thank you.
If you're listening to this, then you're probably in one of two scenarios. Either you're a woman with a great talent who's ready to launch your personal brand, but isn't quite sure how to take the next step. Or you're running your own business, you've got some marketing happening, ads going, and content. Maybe you've even got an agency, but things aren't clicking just right, and you're trying to tie all the pieces together. Well, if you want my help or just want to get an idea of what it's like to work with me, then just go to unlockyourbrandnow.com. Mm-hmm. I believe in simplifying marketing and making it a process that's very, very easy. But I'm also on a mission to help every woman that I can launch her personal brand or her business brand in 21 days or less. So go to unlockyourbrandnow.com and go check it out.